Open up your Bibles with me. Let's go to Psalm 137. Psalm 137. Here beginning in verse 1, it says in Psalm 137, it says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy." Now, here the children of Israel they've been taken captive, and they're sitting here and they're beginning to remember what it was like to be free. And as they begin to remember what it was like to have the freedom in Jerusalem to be able to worship the Lord and all that they were able to do, it said they began to weep about it. And then they say something strange. They said they hung their harps up in the willows. And then their captives begin to inquire of them. Their captives begin to tell them, "Sing us one of those songs. Sing us a song that you sing about your God." And they said, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to understand this. Here they are captive. Their captives are saying, "Sing us one of your songs." And they're saying, "How in the world could we ever do that in us in captivity?" See, here's the thing you've got to understand, church. Our freedom is not based on our situation. Come on, I want you to think about it. Now, I understand that they've been taken captive. I understand that they're in a strange land. But here they have their captives requiring and asking them to sing one of their songs. See, here's the thing. You don't ever give up your freedom, even if you've been taken captive. Come on, we're celebrating the 4th of July, our independence. And our independence is because men and women gave their lives and fought for this country so that we can have the freedoms we have today. And some of those men and women were taken captive while they were trying to fight for our freedoms. And you can see some of the pictures. It's horrific to see some of those that were kept in concentration camps and that kind of thing. And their legs, you know, just all down the bone and whatever. But you know what? They're standing there. You know why? Because they never quit. They never gave up. They might have been caught. They might have been captive, but they never gave up their freedoms. It don't matter what their situation was. Here the children of Israel have basically give up. As they say, they just hung it up. They've hung up their harps. But you see, what you've got to understand is they're asking them, requiring them, asking them to sing one of the songs of Zion. See, what then the church has got, they're messed up too. Just like the children of Israel, they're thinking, "Well, how could I sing the song in a strange land?" You know what they were saying? I can't sing unless everything's going good for me. I can't praise God unless everything's going good for me. Come on, church. Sounds like us a whole lot, don't it? We can't praise God unless it's the right song. Come on now. We got to be in the right mood before we can praise God. Everything got to be going good for us before we can praise God. No, do you understand that your song is not for you to sing to somebody that's got you captive? Your song is not to be to entertain somebody. Your song is to praise and worship the Lord God Almighty. You see, that's the song. And when they were saying, "Why don't you sing us one of your songs?" You know what they were just actually inviting them to do? Why don't you just go ahead and worship your God? Come on, but see, they didn't see it like that because they were captive and they had a captive attitude. We can't sing a song like that. I mean, we're in a strange land. What better place to sing the glory of the Lord than when you're in a strange place? When you're in a strange situation, when you're in a hard place, in a hard situation, that's the time you ought to be singing your song of Zion. That's when you ought to be singing praises to God. That's when you ought to be letting the joy of the Lord be your strength. We can't be like that. We cannot shut up just because things are not going good for us. See, a lot of folks, as long as everything's going good, they're great. But when things get a little tough, they want to quit. Come on now. It doesn't matter. Do you understand? It don't matter what things look like in this country. God has still got this thing. It don't matter if the devil wants to do away with Christianity. He can't. He's been wanting to do away with Christianity ever since he got kicked out of heaven. He's been wanting to do away with God when trying to supersede God. But he knows he can't because he's already a defeated foe. And the only way that he can get to you is if you let him. And the only way you can let him is by letting him yourself have that captive attitude. Well, I just don't know what we're going to do the way things are going. I know what we're going to do. We're going to praise our God. We're going to worship our God. Why? Because we are free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're not going to get the captive attitude. We're not going to get it on our mind. See, notice how they go ahead after they say that, and then they start talking about, oh, don't let me forget about Jerusalem. Don't let me forget about... See, what they were saying is, now, even though we're captive, we can't forget about God. See, that's the point in this thing. No matter what's going on, you can't forget about God. It don't matter what the doctor's report says, you can't forget about God. It don't matter what the banker says, you can't forget about God. It don't matter what your body feels like, you can't forget about God. It don't matter what the diagnosis is, you can't forget about God, because as long as you've got God, you've got what you need. Come on now. You might not be in the preferred place you'd like to be, but as long as God's there with you, it's going to be okay. Look at your neighbor, tell him it's going to be okay. See, you got to really believe that. I believe that, see, because I know my God. Come on. You know your God. He is more than able, right? Come on. See, we got to understand that. So we can't ever forget that it's Jesus that went to the cross to set us free. Amen. I think sometimes Christians forget that. We forget that Jesus paid the ultimate price so that we could have freedom. Free from death and sin. Free from hell. Come on. You don't have to go to hell because Jesus went to hell for you. Come on. You don't have to pay that penalty because He paid the penalty for you. Hallelujah. See, that's something to shout about right there. Even if you're having a bad day, think, well, at least I don't have to go to hell today. That's right. Come on now. Somehow, if I die and leave this place today, I'm not going to hell. Amen. Matter of fact, you're going to be in that place you're waiting on. You're going to be in glory. You're going to be with the Lord Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. See that? If nothing else, we ought to keep that on focus and just enjoy our lives. Come on. I'm going to enjoy this life, but I'm going to tell you it ain't nothing compared to what we're going to. Amen. So I'm going to remain free. Man, the only way you get captive is if you let yourself get captive in your mind, no matter, what your situation is. Amen. You've got to realize that you're always free. Don't let the devil start playing mind games with you. Well, you're never going to come out of this one. Right? You're never going to get out of debt. Come on now, that's a lie. Well, this right here, this going to take you out right here because doctors can't do nothing for you. Well, see, you've got to remember, you know the great physician. You know the one that gave every doctor that was ever a doctor the knowledge that they have. You know the one that made your body. Come on, somebody. He's your healer. Come on. The Bible says that He has healing in His wings. Hallelujah. Get excited about that. See, you can't let the appearance of your captivity make you be captive. Come on, think about that for a minute. It doesn't matter how it appears, as long as I know I'm free. Don't matter what symptoms I have. I know I'm the healed of God in Jesus' name, because by His stripes I was healed. According to the Word of God, right? I know that He sent His Word and healed me. See, I know I have the freedom of the Word to know to come against anything that the enemy throws at me. Anytime he tries to take me captive, because we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, right? Anytime he's trying to take me captive in an area, I just go to the Word and find my freedom. Amen. See, it's all there for us. The Bible says that God's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness here on this earth. Amen. And so we can't... These folks, I understand they're in a situation. But they also began to understand, yeah, but we can't forget about God. And you know what? It wasn't very long before God brought them out of captivity and brought them back into Jerusalem. You see, that's the thing you've got to understand. There are seasons in this life. Come on, the Bible says that to everything there's a season. There's a time and season for everything. And so we go through seasons and we go through times. And here's what you've got to do. If it's maybe not your time, And really, in the earth today, and in the world as we see it, and in the United States right now, it doesn't look like it's the Christian's time, if you look at appearance. But you see, it's the things you can't see. That's what's working, you see. And that's why you understand, I'm going to keep my mind set on God. Because God is not only a Savior, not only is He a healer, but He's also a deliverer. And even though His people were in bondage, He brought them out and set them on a high place. God's getting ready to set the church, His people, on a high place. And people are going to be shaking their heads saying, I don't understand how that happened. Well, they won't understand how it happened, because it's going to happen supernaturally with God moving and things changing. So just get ready. But see, if you keep that captive mentality, did you hear me? Your freedom does not, please understand this, okay? Your freedom does not rest in a politician. Your freedom does not rest in who's president. Your freedom rests in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on a cross for us. That's where your freedom rests in, and you can't forget that. It don't matter what the appearances are. It don't matter what things look like. It don't matter what the naysayers are saying. God is still God, and He's never ceased to be God. Amen. And the good thing is He's working all things together for us. Now let's just look, because I said don't let the appearance of your captivity to cause you to be captive. Let me show you some things in the Word that will encourage you. Go with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, we'll just begin to read verse 14 here. It says, and believers were more added to the Lord. This is when they're having this some great things go on in the Word of God. Ananias and Sapphira, they've lied to the Holy Ghost. They've died. People's carried them out. How many knows that put the fear of God in your life? Amen. Somebody walk in and, you know, just lie. And then Peter look at them and say, why are you lying to the Holy Ghost for? And they just dropped dead and carried them out. I'll tell you, we'd have a whole lot more honest churches if that happened. We'd live a whole lot stricter lifestyles if that happened. Okay, but that's what's happening. It says believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick to the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, some of them. Now it says they were healed, every one, didn't it? They were healed, everyone. Did you hear me? You need to get rid of that mentality. Well, it might work for some, but it don't work for everybody. See, that's what the devil wants to tell you. Well, yeah, but that was so-and-so, and they got more faith than I have. No, they don't. You're serving the same God. You have the same Word. He's your healer too. Don't let the devil talk you out of what belongs to you. See, that's captive again, when he's telling you can't have what God says you can have. Every one of them that came, God healed. They all came believing they'd get healed. They already had that mentality. I'm going to go there and get healed. Come on now. See, most Christians don't come to church with, I'm going to go to church and get this or that. Most Christians just barely can drag themselves in. They're glad they made it. Let alone coming with an expectation and excited about what God might do. Come on. How many of you really, don't show me no hands now, but how many of you really came this morning on your way here and said, man, I hope we get to see a miracle today? See, it's really quiet in here right now because I feel like very few people have said that. But we should have. Why? Because He's the miracle working God. He hadn't changed. It was signs and wonders and miracles that caused people to follow Jesus. Amen. So let's read on a little bit. All these great things are happening. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation or jealousy. Can I tell you that the world hates God and they hate you because they hate God? Can I tell you that the world hates the truth and they hate Christians because they hate the truth? Amen. It's not necessarily about what you believe, except it's the truth. And when you believe the truth, people hate you. They get mad at you. They don't want to hear the truth because, see, the truth cuts like a knife. Come on now. Whoever said the truth never hurt nobody is crazy. You know, now don't get me wrong, sometimes the truth is awesome, but sometimes if you're in the wrong and somebody tells you the truth, it'll cut you to the core. Come on now. I mean, you know, when Peter's preaching over in Acts chapter 2, when he begins to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He was crucified, the Bible says they were vexed in their heart. What happened? They were cut. They'd just been told the truth that they crucified the Savior of the world. And then they said, what can we do? And he said, well, that's easy. Repent, be baptized. You receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, that's the good thing about God, is even when we mess up with Him, He's willing to forgive us if we'll repent. So they're mad. They can't stand the fact that people... Isn't it amazing? Even church folk get mad when a church starts having a revival and people get saved. Church folk get mad. Some start having a revival and somebody gets healed. Miracles start happening. Things are going good. They get jealous. That's what this word means, is jealous. Listen, we're all one body. Come on. And we're supposed to be praying for one another and hoping one another does good. I've heard people get excited because a church fell. Well, that's just a black mark on the body of Christ. That ain't something to get happy about. That's something you ought to weep about, be sad about. Don't be jealous. He's everybody's God, if you want Him to be. As long as I want Him to be, He'll be my God. Jesus will be my Savior. As long as you want Him to be, He'll be yours. And He's not a respecter of persons. Hallelujah. He says they were filled with indignation, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Now listen, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered to the temple early in the morning and taught. See that? Here they are in jail. They're captive. But God sends an angel and lets them out and says, go back out there and preach some more. Go back out there and teach some more. You know why? Because as far as God was concerned, they was never captive. Nothing didn't change. The assignment didn't change. They didn't say, oh no. No, now wait a minute now. Don't you realize that they just put us in jail for preaching and teaching? I mean, you just let us out of jail, angel, and you want us to go back out there to the temple and teach and preach? I mean, they just arrested us for doing that. No, they didn't do that. When he said, go back out and do it, they went right back in there. Matter of fact, the next day when they came to jail looking for him, they went there. You know, the jail doors were still locked. Wonder how that angel got them out of there. See, do you ever think about stuff like that? I mean, it's still locked. The guards are all there, but there ain't nobody inside. And they're freaking out. What are we going? And then somebody comes and says, you talking about those fellows you put in jail last night? Oh, they're over there at the church preaching. I said, well, go get them. They went and got them here. They come, bring them up before them. You know, did we not command you not to teach in this man Jesus' name? You intend to bring his innocent blood upon us. Peter looked at him and said, well, here's the way we look at it. It's better to obey God than man. Amen. You see, even in all this, they're free. They didn't see themselves as captive, and they weren't worried about being taken captive. All they knew is that God was God, and they was going to tell everybody that He was God, and as long as He's God in their life, they're free. Amen. An angel, even though they were captive, God sent an angel. Imagine that. Now let me show you another one. Go over here with me to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Let's read from verse 1. It says, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, that just jumps off the page at me. Herod, a heathen, kills James, a lover of God and a Jew. And the Jews were happy about it. Again, see, that's a lot the church. When they see somebody go down, they get happy about it. What a sad account. Every person that is in the body of Christ is a brother and sister. And when we see somebody, the Bible tells us, when we see somebody overtaken in a fault, we ought to restore such a one. And be careful ourselves that we don't get caught up in the same trap. They were happy. Herod saw that it pleased the Jews for him to kill James. James. Now, what's he going to do? He saw that it pleased him. It says, when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping. Now listen, he's sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Sound to me like he's pretty captive, don't it, you? I mean, you know, they're so afraid because they've seen what God did through Peter, four squadrons of soldiers. He's laying between two soldiers with two chains. I feel like that maybe he was chained to each soldier. And then you've got those keeping the doors. I mean, they're watching the place. But you can't forget that prayers from the people of God were being sent up. And behold, verse 7, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. You talk about being free when you're captive. Peter was so unconcerned about his situation. He's laying there so asleep between those two soldiers that the angel, I just kind of feel like the angel may have went up and said, hey, I said he smote him, but don't say how. I kind of feel like he just gave him a big kick. Now, I want you to notice, though, there's a light in the place. And he's kicking Peter and talking to him. But those soldiers never do wake up. And whoever's guarding the door, they don't know what's going on. And he tells him to get up. And when he gets up, the chains fall off. See, he was caught between two soldiers. But when he raised himself up from there, all of his chains fell off. You cannot, even though you're in a position, maybe you're between a rock and a hard place, you cannot let that keep you down. You have to get up. You have to get up so the chains can fall off. As long as you're down, you're still chained. But once you get up, the chains will start to fall off. Satan can't hold you. The devil can't do anything with you. When he got up, the chains fell off. And the angel said to him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." In other words, get your clothes on. Come on, we're getting out of here. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. In other words, he thought, "Man, am I dreaming? This got to be a dream." But he's following the angel. When they were past the first and the second ward, now you've got to understand, they're walking through a prison. And they're walking through one ward to... How many knows that there's guards at each one of those? But those guards never know they're coming by. So you've got to keep your eyes on God. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the Arn gate, which leadeth into the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Look what God did. They've got him chained up between them. Some were apparently in the middle of the prison because they got to come back past the first and second wards. And then there's that big iron gate. You know that one nobody can't get through. And when they get to that gate, it just goes. It just opens up. And they walk out free. They walk out free because in Peter's mind, he was never captive. And he walks out into the street. And of course, we know that he goes back and finds the people that are praying, starts knocking on the door. One of the little girls goes out and looks and says, "That's Peter." And he runs. She runs back in and says, "Hey, Peter's out the gate." "Nah, you must be seeing a vision or something out there. You're seeing..." No, he's out there. That's like the church too, isn't it? You're praying not expecting your prayer to be answered. Right? They're praying. God answers their prayer. And he's out there at the door. And they have to go let him in. See, church, it doesn't matter what your circumstance is. Here's two instances where an angel was sent from God to deliver them and bring them out of what was supposed to be captivity. No matter what you're in right now, no matter what your situation, God will bring you out if you allow him to, as long as you keep yourself focused on him. And forget not God. Keep your mind on Him. Let me tell you one more, and we'll kind of move along. But in Acts chapter 16, and I'll just kind of paraphrase this one for a little bit of slack of time. Paul and Silas, they're going through and they're preaching, and they come upon some folks and they're praying down by the river, and a woman joins up with them there, and they join up with some other ladies that have been praying. One of those ladies has the spirit of an unclean spirit. And so she's there and she starts following them around. And what she's doing, she's actually a fortune teller. She sees the future and she's able to tell. And men are using her to make money because she can predict things. Okay? She's kind of like a psychic type thing. And it's a spirit that's on her. And so that woman's following them and just every little bit, that woman will say, "These are the men that follow the Most High. They throw us the way of salvation." And she did it to the point that Paul got frustrated. And he turned around and cast out that spirit. Well, when the people that were making money off her saw that, they got mad and they got up a big crowd and had them thrown in jail. And the Bible says that they took them to the jail and they tried him and put him in jail. And it said that the jailer, having received such a charge, he put him in the inner prison and put him in stocks and bonds. Stocks and bonds. Is that right? Stocks, not bonds. Bonds are bank things, I guess. Bound them up in stocks. How about that? Can I do that? He locks them up in the inner prison, puts chains on them. Now, the Bible says then, at about midnight, they've been beaten, they've been put in the inner prison, they're chained up. And at about midnight, Paul and Silas begin to sing praises unto God and pray. And the Bible says the prisoners heard them. You know, I mean, thank God they weren't in church. Yeah, you know, church folk, they... Come on, right?
I surrender.
You're looking at me funny. When it should be, I surrender. No, they did it loud. And the prisoners heard them. Sometimes you ought to just sing loud so that the devil can hear that you're singing loud unto the Lord. You need to let the devil be notified, hey, I'm singing praises to my God. You're not singing for somebody around you. You're singing to Him. The prisoners heard them. And the Bible says there was an earthquake. Now, this is not biblical, okay? But it's just my interpretation. This, okay? Earthquake. The earth is His footstool. Right? I can almost see God patting His foot while they sing praises to Him. And the place starts shaking. And the Bible says that all the doors flew open and all their chains fell off. And they were everyone set free. Now, I made up the part about God patting His foot just in case somebody thinks I'm trying to be unbiblical here. I'm doing the preaching so I can... No. Just to give it a little flavor, okay? Not trying to be unscriptural. But the place the earthquake happened, the doors fly open, the chains fall off. And so here they are. They're all set free now. And the jailer wakes up and he pulls his sword and he's going to kill himself because he knows that I'd be better off killing myself now than have them torture me for letting all these prisoners escape. And Paul says, wait a minute. Do yourself no harm. We're still all here. And the jailer comes in, the Bible says he's trembling. And he's bringing a light. He comes in and looks at him and he looks at him and, wow. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. Now I've taught you that enough to know. There's you some scripture for your house. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house.
Amen.
And the Bible says that He took them and He bound up their wounds and took care of them. And they took them, Him and all that were in His house down and baptized them. And He brought them back to the house. And the next morning, here comes some sergeants. Because the magistrates that sentenced them to jail did not show up to tell them they could go free. They sent sergeants there. And the sergeants came and told the jailer, tell them they can go free. The jailer comes in and tells them, says, the sergeant said you guys are free to go. And Paul says, nope. They made an open trial of us. They did this out in front of everybody, making a show of us. And they think we're just going to go and sneak off so that there's no... No, no. You tell them to come and look us in the eye and tell us we can go. And the Bible says the magistrates were shaken because some of them were Romans. You see, when you're free, you don't let the devil get the bluff over you. They had done a bad thing to them. They had falsely accused them. For no reason at all, except for a bunch of men, rich men, got mad because they was going to lose money. They had done a good thing. They cast the devil out of a woman. But you see, it wasn't the popular thing. It wasn't the people with the pull. It wasn't politically correct for them to cast out that devil. Come on now. So now here they are, free in their mind. And Paul says, nah, you didn't do this thing hidden when you beat us. You're not going to do this thing hidden when you send us out. Everybody going to know you let us go. Why? Because he is already free. See, you've got to understand that. You're already free. Don't let the devil try to shame you or make you feel like you're less than. See, that's kind of what they were doing. They were making it look like they were less than because they had preached, taught, cast out a devil, and they tried to make it look like it was something bad. Can I tell you that in our country, they try to make the Ten Commandments look like they're something bad. I mean, come on. If you live by the Ten Commandments, this would be the greatest place in this world. Now, I understand the Ten Commandments are part of the Old Testament, but you know, Jesus repeated every one of them in the New Testament except for one. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And see, a lot of folks are trying to argue, oh, when church is supposed to be on Saturday, when's the Sabbath? And Jesus, as he's talking at one point there, he says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. What's that mean? Anytime I set aside time for Jesus, that's a Sabbath for me. Anytime I set aside a day that I'm going to worship God, that'll be a Sabbath for me. No matter what day of the week, that's not what it's about. It's about taking the time to recognize that He's your God. That's what it's about. And so we see this, see our country, and we see all kinds of crazy things going on in our country. Things that go against God and things that you know, you know, really, if you just looked at it, it makes you want to just hang it up and quit. Because it doesn't look real, you know, real bright in the natural. But I got news for you. The sun is coming. The sun is coming. Now, I'm not talking about Him coming to rapture the church. I'm talking about the sun is coming. The power of God's about to be manifest. The Holy Ghost's about to start doing some things. Some things are going to begin to shake. The Bible says things that are done in secret are going to be revealed on rooftops. Things that have been kept hidden are going to be made manifest. And we're about to start seeing some manifestation. Come on. Why? Because we're still free. We haven't quit on our God. We're still lifting up the name of Jesus. We're still praying for our country. We're still praying for leadership. We're still praying for the righteous to be put in authority and bring this country back to the country that it is. I saw one of my friends put on Facebook. We graduated high school together. He put on there that this was not a Christian country. It's just a country where you could practice Christianity. But I got news for you. You know, this country was not built on the Koran. Our Constitution did not use the Koran when our forefathers wrote it out. And even though a lot of them were not Christians, they were God believers. And they had the fear of God in their life. Look, read it. Now, they don't come in and talk about Jesus because it is a country of freedom of religion. But they do recognize God. And I'm going to tell you something. I understand that they were fleeing religious tyranny. But what they were running from was the fact that they wanted them to serve God the way they wanted them to serve God. Not according to the Word of God, but the Word of the church. Now, see, that's the thing. I don't want somebody to live according to the church. But I do believe every person is required to live by the Word of God. The Bible. No other book but the Bible. And as long as we're living by the Word of God, we'll always remain free. We'll always stay free. I promise you, out of the hundreds of thousands, millions, I don't know, of those that have given their lives for this country, they never in their minds saw this country doing anything other than being a Christian country, following the Word of God with the freedoms that it affords us. Amen. See, that's what freedom is about. And here's the thing, folks. People can do what they want to. That's fine. I mean, you know, if you want to worship the devil, that's up to you. But don't try to tell me that it's right.
Amen.
Because it goes against the Word of God. And the Word of God is the believer's handbook, standard, rule book, whatever you want to call it. That's what we live by. The Word of God. So I'll be nice to you. I'll be courteous to you. But you'll never get me to agree with what you do. And that's true with all sin. And people get mad and start to call you phobia this and phobia that and all that. You know, and it's not that. It's just the fact that you know the truth and they don't want to hear the truth. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth. And what? The truth shall make you what?
Free.
That's how we're free. That's how they were free. They knew the truth. Amen. Now, I'm going to end with this. I want you to just think about how the disciples, the followers of Jesus, they must have felt when they saw Him crucified on the cross. I mean, He's been with them now for some time, and He's been telling them all along, teaching them all along, and telling them, you know, about the kingdom of God, and teaching them the principles of the kingdom of God. And then all of a sudden, He's on a stage and everybody's screaming out, crucify Him, crucify Him. The next thing they know, they're dragging Him through the street. They've got a cross on His back and they're taking Him to Golgotha. And they take Him there with two thieves because that's what they felt like He was just a common thief and a nobody. And they're there and they watch Him drive those spikes into His hands. They watch Him drive those speaking spikes into His feet, and they watch as they raise and the cross goes into that hole with a thud. And they watch Jesus hang there and die on that cross. Everything that He had told them, here it is. He's crucified. That night they take Him down. They anoint His body. Take it. Put it in a tomb. First day, they're probably all just rattled. I mean, you know. They're probably thinking, well, He told us this and He told us that. And But He's gone. Second day. Now, it's 2 days now. Probably thinking, well, what are we going to do now? Well, Peter says, I'm going fishing. Yeah, I kind of feel like I've been there. I probably went with him. You know, I'm going fishing. They said, we're going to go with you too. So they're going fishing. They all, you know, it's just going to get life back to normal. But on the third day, something happened. On the third day, Jesus rose out of the grave. And them old fishing boys, they're out on the boat and Jesus is over by the ocean. He got a fire built. He said, you guys got any fish? Bring them on over. Let's have a little cookout. Come on, church. You see, you can't give up hope just because things look hopeless. Jesus has been crucified for you and I. He won't be crucified again. He allowed the enemy to do that so He could bring salvation to the world. But I promise you, He ain't allowing the devil to do all this. Vengeance is Mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So just hold on to your freedom. Don't allow the enemy to take you captive in your mind. Realize, I'm free because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it don't matter what happens in this country or in this world, I'm still going to remain free. If they try to take my Bible, it don't matter because I still got Jesus in my heart. Come on, somebody. You got to realize that. So as long as you stay free in your heart, you'll never be taken captive because you've been set free forever. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you allowed Jesus Christ to die on a cross. We thank you, Father, that you let him pay the price for our sin so that we could be set free and made free. I pray right now, Father God, if there's any person in here today, Lord, that doesn't know you as their personal Savior. They've never made you Lord of their life. Or maybe there's somebody here, Father, that at one point they were free, but they've allowed themselves to